It's encouraging to see all who are out to the meeting today and give a warm welcome to everyone. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to be looking at a topic that crosses the mind of, I believe, most everybody, regardless of their economic status, regardless of their religious background or lack thereof, regardless of the country or nationality they come from. And it is a topic about heaven. Is it a real place? What is it? What is heaven? John chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Let your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house," that's heaven, "are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas, you remember this disciple, Thomas, was the one who was always doubting the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, he wasn't there after the Lord had risen from the grave, and the other disciples were with the Lord Jesus Christ, and Thomas wasn't there, and he was doubting the resurrection of Christ. So Thomas is one who was doubting here as well. "Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And here's a key verse for us to consider today, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man," not some people, not most people, nobody, "no man cometh unto the Father but by me." May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Heaven, and what is it all about? You know, some people think to themselves, well, you know, heaven is a place that is just a state of thought or state of mind, you know, and it's not a literal place or tangible. It's kind of like a dream, you know. So when you go into a dream, you think that everything is very real and realistic around you and is very believable, but you're really not there. It's just a state of mind. And that's the way some people look at heaven. And the truth of the matter is, that's not what the Bible teaches. Heaven is not merely some sort of an illusion or state of mind. Heaven is a real place with physical things and people and so on. You say, how can you prove that from the Bible? Well, I'll tell you how I can prove it from the Bible. If heaven wasn't a real place, well, why would God want your body up there? If it was merely a state of mind, you wouldn't need your body there. The Bible tells us that there's going to come a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, and those who are saved are going to go up, and their bodies are going to go right up into heaven. They're going to go right out of this world and right up into heaven. You say, that couldn't happen. Well, you're dealing with God. It can happen. And so if their bodies are going to leave the world and go to heaven, and heaven's not a real place, then why did the body need to be there? Well, the body needs to be there because it is a real place. You could actually touch things and go places and all that sort of stuff. Heaven is a real place. In fact, it's so real that God is, when he comes, he's going to bring or raise those who have been saved out of the graves. Their bodies are going to come up. Their bodies are going to be changed. They're going to get a brand new body. Wouldn't that be nice? Brand new body. And right up into heaven, be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the truth of the matter is, heaven is a real place. If it weren't, your body wouldn't need to be there. Okay? But it does need to be there. Why? Because heaven is a real place. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, and he's talking with his disciples about heaven. He's saying that in my Father's house are many mansions. Can you imagine what heaven is going to look like? I mean, have you ever stopped and considered the grandeur of heaven? It's a place that is so full of wealth that there's gems and diadems down in the foundation of the walls in an area you wouldn't even see. That's how filthy rich heaven is. It would be more luxurious than walking into the lobby of the most luxurious hotel on planet Earth. Heaven is going to be like, wow. And when we get there to look around, I mean, we look around at this world. We see things like the Grand Canyon. We see things like outer space. We see things that are amazing in this world. I mean, even the beauty of a flower. And we go, wow. Do you know, when we get to heaven, it'll be a whole lot more wow. Because this world is a junkyard in comparison to what heaven is going to be like. Incredible, like the highest of God's design in heaven. An amazing place. I can't wait to go. But the Lord is telling his disciples about heaven and how wonderful it is and so on. And he's saying, in my Father's house are many mansions. Can you imagine a house that has mansions inside the house? You would have to have a wow of a house. Okay? I mean, this is luxurious. It's incredible what it's about. But there's mansions there. The Bible tells us there's a street of gold. From what I understand, it takes over $10 million to construct 1 mile of freeway here in Los Angeles. Over $10 million, 1 mile freeway. That's crazy. That's a lot of money, okay? But can you imagine a place where gold is so bountiful that you can make streets out of it? I mean, it'll be a wow, a very wow experience. But I'm gonna tell you what's gonna make heaven even more spectacular is that the Lord Jesus Christ is there. People in the world today, they can have wealthy homes and they can live in the most beautiful neighborhoods and have the biggest, most luxurious homes. And they can sit in that home and they can feel so lonely because nobody is there to share it with them. Nobody is there to be with them. They can feel so alone, even with luxury all around them. But you go to heaven, you know what's wonderful about that place? It's not only luxurious, Christ is there. And the fact that Christ is there and God is there is what's going to make heaven heaven. That's what's going to make heaven heaven, because God is there. Now, Thomas is sitting there and he's saying, well, how we go? If God is preparing a place for us, then how is it that we're going to go? There's a philosophy in our world today, and it's not biblical, but I'll share the philosophy with you. You probably heard it before too. And the philosophy is this. All roads lead to heaven. That's what they say. Now, if you wanted to come to my house, and you asked me for directions, and I was to say, pick whichever road you want, because all roads go to my house. You like the beach view, then go down the beach. And if you like desert view, then head on the 10 going east. And if because all roads land up in my house, would you swallow that? So you pick a road you really like, you get on there and you're traveling along. And you think the whole time you're gonna land up in my house sometime because all roads go to my house, right? Wrong. If you couldn't get to my house that way, then why do people believe in this world all roads go to God's house? It's a very faulty logic. It wouldn't be good enough for you to get to my house that way. It wouldn't be good enough for me to get to your house that way. I'm glad my cell phone has a GPS on it, because that lady on that thing tells me where to go. Turn here, turn there. And I listen to her. If there's somebody that I listen to, it's her. She tells me to turn left here, go straight here, merge there, because otherwise I get lost. What's she doing? She's giving me directions. So if I'm going to get to God's house, guess how I got to go? I got to go God's way. And guess who's going to be the most reliable source to give me the way to get to God's house? If I'm going to get there, it's going to be God himself, because he never lies. So it doesn't matter what my opinions are. It doesn't matter what somebody else's opinions are. And people say, all these roads go to heaven. No, they don't. I want you to take a look at the verse that we read today. And these are words from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. There's only one way. There's the way, one way. Not many roads, one road. Now I want you to just get that picture back in your head again of many roads. And they all think they go to heaven. And I want you to think about this verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. That means we've going whichever way we want to. And the verse continues on. We have turned everyone to his own way. If I'm going to go my way to God's house, I'm going astray. That's what God's saying. I can't pick a way. God already predicted that mankind would have that philosophy in their head that all roads lead to heaven. And God says, you're like sheep going astray. Everybody's picking their own way. And you're going away from God. You're not getting closer to him by picking your own road. It doesn't work that way. The Bible also says, there is a way. There is a way. Which seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Think about that one. It doesn't matter how right you think you are. You could be wrong. You ever been on a road and you thought you were on the right road? And 5 miles down the road, you figured out you were on the wrong road. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man. Now, that's one thing to make a mistake on the freeways here. It's another thing to make a mistake when it comes to heaven. Okay? Because that's a much bigger mistake. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. If anybody should know, God does. So going back to this verse here in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. See, if I'm going to get to God's heaven, I got to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's people who say, I don't like that way. If you don't like that way, you can't get to heaven because that's the only way. He said, I am the way. Well, what if he's wrong? Maybe he's wrong. Well, the Lord thought of that before you thought of thinking he was wrong, because he said, I am the truth. Say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. People say, well, if I get saved and I'm on my way to heaven, what a boring life that'll be. God says, uh-uh. You get saved and you're on your way to heaven. You have a relationship with the most important individual in the universe, God himself. That's an amazing, that's a life. That's a real life. And the Lord says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So the question boils down to us considering today, are you on your way to heaven? I was sharing this morning that I was talking with a woman who, the doctors tell her that this is January is her last month to live. And she's not saved. She's not sure of heaven. If that was you, would you play Russian roulette with God? Or would you want to know for sure, I'm on my way to heaven? Just think about that. Now that woman, she was told by the doctors when she was going to pass away, prediction of time. You and I aren't told, but we're all dying. We're all going to go over that threshold of death, and we're going to go into eternity. The only difference is she knows more or less when. You and I don't. That's the only real difference. And what's important to her as far as going to heaven is should be the exact same thing as what's important to us as far as going to heaven. How are you going to get to heaven? So if you really stop and think about it, what are you trusting in to get to heaven? How do you know that you'll ever get to heaven? You know, the first thing you got to think about is this, is our sin. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. We look at our own lives and we say, you know, how many lies have you told? How many bad thoughts have you had? The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. How many times have you disobeyed your parents? How many times have you thought bad words or perhaps said bad words? God says that all of our words will give an account to them someday before God. Are you a sinner? You're a sinner. If you only sinned one time a day, which as a human, that's impossible. But let's say you were to only sin one time a day. That's 365 sins a year. Multiply that with how old you are. That's a lot of sins. How many sins does it take for you to be kept out of heaven? One. God's heaven is clean. It's absolutely pure. It's spotless. And one sin, sin is contagious. The Bible teaches sin is contagious. You know, people coughing, like I cough and stuff, and people stay 10 feet away. I can talk to them on the cell phone. We can have a conversation so they don't get what I've got. But, you know, what we have sometimes when we're sick is contagious. Sin is contagious. Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I'm a sinner because my parents were sinners, but they're sinners because their parents were sinners, and their parents were sinners because their parents were sinners. And it keeps on, because sin is contagious. It's hereditary. Sin is hereditary, and it's passed down. That's what the Bible says. So you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner, and with our sins, we can't go into God's clean heaven. We're locked out. Ever really thought about that? And it doesn't matter how good I am today and I live a real good life today. What about the lie you told yesterday? And what about the wrong you did last week? And what about the time you burst out with anger last month? And what about the bad thoughts you had last year? You could be real good today, but what about all those other accounts? If you get a ticket from the policeman and you go to court to pay it and you tell the judge, I don't think I should have to pay it. He says, why? Because I was a good citizen today. It wouldn't work in court. And it doesn't work in God's court. You have sins that have piled up in the past, and being real good today doesn't cover them up back here. And God says those sins need to be dealt with. Otherwise, you can't go to my Father's house where there are many mansions. You're locked out. And you know, I'm locked out too, because I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. Now, what if I was to tell you that there's a way that all of your sins could be paid for? What if I was to tell you there's a way that when God looks at you, he could look at you as if you've never sinned in your life? Clean and pure and spotless, and that way, being clean and pure and spotless, no sin on your account, you're paid for, you're like as if you've never sinned. In that perfection, God can pick you up and put him into the... What if I was to tell you, would you be interested in that? Would you be interested in knowing a message where all of your sins can be washed away and God can see you as clean and pure and ready for heaven. Think about that. That's a message a world out there is rejecting, but it's the most glorious message you will ever hear. Let me tell you how your sins can be totally taken away. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There it is. 1 John. How are my sins going to be washed away? How can God see me as absolutely pure and clean? In the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it, right there. God looks at Glenn Baker. I'm a sinner. God looks at me. He doesn't see my sins. He sees the blood of Christ. And he sees that my sins have all been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Christ's merits, not mine. Christ did it, not me. To Christ be the glory, not me. All my sins can be washed away by the blood of Christ. That's right. That's why he died. You see, if your sins could be washed away by what you do, then Christ would have never had to die. He could have just stayed in heaven and kept cheering you on. Good job, keep going. He could have done that, but he didn't. He came into this world, he had to die upon the cross so that your sins could be paid for. See, God's real angry at your sins. You know, I think ladies can relate to this probably more than men. But if you're married, you ever had a time where you get real angry about something against your husband, and your husband seems like, well, who cares? You know, and he's just shoving you off. Like, and you're thinking to yourself, he's acting like he didn't do anything. You probably had that experience before. And you're bubbling. Ladies are really good at holding on to stuff. They'll remember what happened back in 1862, okay? And a guy will forget. I mean, he's like, no, I don't remember. Remember what you said? No, I don't remember. And what irritates the lady about her husband is he's acting like nothing's going wrong, and he's just, you know, he doesn't understand, and because, you know, he's pretending like everything's okay. Can you imagine how frustrated God would be at a sinner who's pretending everything is okay? God can't pretend everything is okay. And when it comes to your sin, God can't pretend everything is okay. He's not two-faced. He's angry with your sin. And yes, he remembers all of them. Doesn't matter how far back it goes, because he's in eternity. You see, time doesn't really, it's not a factor for him. So he remembers the sins you committed when you were 5, when you were 3, the times you disobeyed your parents when you were 2 and you don't even remember them. God hates them all. And God remembers them. And he's upset with them. Very upset with them. But he took his anger and all of that against you and your sin. And he unleashed it on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So go back to the wife scenario. You like to unleash your anger on your husband because he's pretending everything is okay. Imagine being able to unleash your anger somewhere else and somebody else pays for your anger against him. That's what Christ did for you. While we're over here pretending everything is okay, God is unleashing his anger on his son for your sin. It's a real anger. And it's a profound anger. It's heavy. And his son at the cross of Calvary is bearing all of, you know, it's one thing to be have a husband or a wife angry at you, but when God's angry at you for years and years and years and years of sin, not just your sin, but your kids' sin, your parents' sin, everybody in your neighborhood, everybody in your state and country and world, from all the way back to Adam and Eve to all the way when the world ends. God's got a lot of anger against sin, but he puts it all upon his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and makes him pay for it so that you can go free. So that you can go free. That's an amazing message. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's son, cleanses from all sin. Do you want to go to heaven? Then your sin needs to be taken away. It's like AT&T, and they cut your service when you don't pay. You see? God cuts the road to heaven when you don't have it paid for. You can't expect to get to heaven if it's not paid for. And if AT&T will cut it, God will cut your way to heaven if you don't have it paid for. And sooner or later, you're going to come across the line of death and go out into eternity. Let me ask you, is your account paid? As far as your sin, is it paid for? Can I just tell you today? Yes, it is paid for. In the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died at the cross of Calvary. He paid your account so everything can be right between you and not just some secular company, but between you and God. And you can have passage right into God's heaven, clean, guiltless of all of your sin. To rid all of the guilt of your past and to be right between you and God is called peace. You ever done something back here and you wish you never did it? And it eats at you and eats at you and eats at you. The little memory of it just chews you up. But you know the truth of the matter is, all my guilt was put upon the Lord Jesus Christ, so I don't have to carry it anymore. I'm free. God sees me as clean through his blood. How can I get to heaven? Thomas is asking. Not a matter of just picking some road out there that, well, I like that road or I like that road because all roads lead to heaven. Doesn't work that way. The Lord Jesus Christ could respond to Thomas and say, I am the way. No other way. The truth and the life. I was telling someone not too long ago, you know, there are different ways you can get to my house if you run across traffic. You could have your GPS and it would say rerouting, you know, it detected traffic ahead or something and it reroutes you and then you go another way to get to my house. You know, the truth of the matter is God lives at the end of a long cul-de-sac and there's no other roads. And there's no other route and there's no rerouting. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who could say he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank thee that we can have peace with God through his work on the cross of Calvary and realize that all of our sin and guilt is something of the past, simply by placing faith and trust that Christ has paid our debt in full, and we can make our way to heaven because of him. Not because of us or what we do, but because of what Christ did at the cross. And we pray, Lord, that the simplicity of the gospel may be that which will reach the heart of someone here today as they recognize that this is an issue that is between them and God alone. We pray, Lord, that thou make clear that Christ is a savior of sinners and that some soul can even be saved today in the seat that they are sitting before they even leave this room. So, Lord, we put this into thy hands, praying too for those who are not feeling well today. We think in a very special way of this woman, Isabella, who is dying with cancer, and we pray, Lord, thy hand upon her. Help her to see the truth of salvation. As far as the doctors are concerned, there's not much hope. But we pray, Lord, that thou wilt show her the truth of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for her to pay for her peace so she can be home in heaven someday. So, Lord, we pray that we may all think about what it's like. We'll someday cross over that line into eternity, and we'll have to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We pray, Lord, that we will not be like those who fear death in the sense that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. We pray, Lord, that we may have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So commit all this into thy hands, praying for thy blessing today in thy Son's name. Amen.